Welcome to this evening's forum. I am Darius Larson. Tonight's forum is entitled Gay and Christian, the Homosexual and the Church. Let me preface the forum tonight by stating basically two things. One, something personal, and two, something from James Nelson. And that's basically what you see up here on the board. In my ministry, there has been several times where people who are gay have come to me for guidance on a whole variety of areas and issues. And somehow, the church needs to wrestle with the whole question. And we, as a body of believers gathered tonight, are the church, and hopefully we can wrestle with the question. It's broader than just an individual. It includes husbands and wives after many years of marriage. One announces or one finally decides that they can't live with a split life. It's all sorts of different, whole gamut of different feelings. And I just want to say that I'm one, need this forum to have you help me sort through where we should be in this whole whole dilemma that the church is in, because we have remained somewhat silent. If I could recommend just two books to you, one that's in the library and one that is not, the one that's not in the library is written by two women. I don't remember their names, but it's entitled, "Is the Homosexual My Neighbor?" And it gives a very clear, not too technical, dealing with the whole matter, including scriptural basis. The other one, which is in the library, might even be in the bookstore, I'm not sure. It's in paperback, I think, now, so don't buy the hardcover. Called Embodiment by James Nelson. Goes through all different areas of human sexuality, and there's one chapter that deals exclusively with the homosexual and the issues that the church and the homosexual need to face. And in that, he lists that there are four basic approaches that people usually take to people who are gay, and they are rejecting punitive approach, rejecting non-punitive approach, qualified acceptance, and full acceptance. And I want to spend maybe 4 minutes sharing with you what he says are what these four areas mean, and then open it up for the rest of the evening to you to struggle with and to share with us where you are maybe in relationship to these four, and also maybe where you think other people are, so we can kind of understand them and also maybe argue them and search for some sort of common understanding of different positions. And then I want to spend some time tonight dealing with one thing that normally does not get dealt with, and that is what they call homophobia, or what I would like to call homoskittishness. What does it mean to this, to me as a male, because the world is skittish about homosexuality, what does it mean to me as I relate to other males? How does that inhibit or prohibit my relationship with you? So sometime, if we can, if it looks like a natural break, I will try to direct us in that that way. Rejecting punitive orientation is defined as those who feel that they unconditionally reject homosexuality as being Christianly legitimate, and they bear punitive attitudes towards all gays. A somewhat parallel feeling would be something like one might have with a person who is a child molester or a person who is a rapist. The second one is rejecting non-punitive. To seek one's humanity in a person of the same sex is to seek, and this is a quote from Karl Barth, a substitute for a despised partner. It's idolatry because you deal with self-satisfaction and self-sufficiency. It's unnatural and violates the commandment of the Creator. But grace needs to abound. Therefore, homosexuality is condemned, but not the person, him or herself. This is probably parallel when I think of my attitudes with a person who is an alcoholic. You condemn the alcoholism, but not the alcoholic. You may not like all those illustrations, but just to try to help myself and you identify. The third qualified acceptance. Homosexuality is a perversion. It's not part of the order of creation. If one is gay, one should try to change. If one cannot change, they should seek to sublimate their desires. They should basically become celibate. But some, because of, quote, their vitality, they're not able to practice abstinence. And they should structure their sexual relationships in an ethical, responsive way. And this is probably somewhat similar to many of our attitudes to premarital sex, I would think. And the fourth one, full acceptance. They assume that homosexual orientation is more of a given than a choice. And as a Quaker statement on homosexuality states, one should no more deplore homosexuality than left-handedness. So the parallel would be left-handedness versus right-handedness, gay versus straight. That's basically the four positions that Nelson says all of us fall somewhat into. And so tonight we want to explore where we are, where our problems are, where our questions are, and where should we as the church be in these four areas. Open for discussion.
Yeah, I guess, first of all, I guess I'd like to understand, at least correctly, what we use as evidence and what we base our opinions upon. I guess personally, I base my evidence on the word truth, which is God's word. And either you accept that or you don't. And according to just one very basic verse, Romans 1, 24 and 32, I'll read it for you. So God let them go ahead into every sort of sex sin and do whatever they wanted to, yes, vile and sinful things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So they prayed to the things God made, but wouldn't obey the blessed God who made these things. That is why God let go of them and let them do all these evil things, so that even their women turned against God's natural plan for them and indulged in sex sin with each other. And the men, instead of having a normal sex relationship with women, birthed lust for each other. Men doing shameful things with each other, with other men, and as a result, getting paid within their own souls with the penalty they so richly deserve. Now, to me, I'm not sure which category I fit in, if there's a category to fit. But I guess for me, that's fairly clear exactly where the church should stand.
And can you make that in the church should stand against homosexuals or homosexual activity, or?
I don't think they have to stand against people. I think they have to stand against the sin. And the sin of homosexuality is a sin and should not be accepted by the church.
Okay. Yes.
I agree with him pretty much on that. And to go along with that, how to deal with the person that has this problem. In Corinthians, Paul is writing to the people there about, oh, a man that has immorality, they called it, because he was the man was living with his father's wife. And of course, we have to say, basically, I feel homosexuality would be immoral. Same with living with your father's wife. So, what he told these people was to, let me read it here. It is actually reported that there is an immorality among you, and of a kind that is not found even among pagans. For a man is living with his father's wife. And you are arrogant? Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. And so that was dealing pretty strongly, I see, with somebody that has that problem. Now, he goes on further to, I think, explain the removing from the church and
Pass out some Bibles. I've got a feeling that's where we are right now, so pass out the Bibles.
This will be a long study.
Okay. And the reason he says this is because you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that this spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So I'm not quite sure. I feel that if he's to be put aside, that maybe he can think about what he's done to assess the matter. If he's been put away from this type of thing, he might repent and say, come back to God because of his immorality. Now, I associate this maybe with homosexuality and things.
My struggle, or one of many of my struggles, is does the Bible say anything about two people who love each other and are monogamous, or whatever you want to say, that the only difference is they happen to be of the same sex? Does the Bible say anything about that style of homosexuality?
Why did God make man and woman? If he wanted two women to be together, he would have made an all-female race, or two men to be together, all-male race.
Okay.
Doesn't answer
your
question.
Yeah, wait,
I don't.
Could you say that again?
I sort of missed you. Okay. My personal struggle is that with people who love each other and have lived in a faithful relationship with each other for 10 years. Everything about their life seems to be good and wholesome and upright, etc., 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 etc. The only thing that is wrong is that they happen to be both male. Does the Bible say, I mean, is the things that you're quoting here saying that that means that those two people are living in sin? I'm just wondering that as one question. Yes?
I don't think the Romans does. Just a cursory reading here while other things are going on, I can't concentrate too well. But it seems to me that talking about practices and worship of pagan gods, isn't it?
Yeah. That is one widely held interpretation. Yes?
Yeah. Well, Paul is under the conviction of the Holy Spirit when he is writing the scriptures. And he talks against homosexuality, then isn't that just kind of a justification of a simplistic justification of trying to say that it's okay? You understand what I mean?
If he says
it's wrong, okay?
Uh-huh.
If he says it's wrong, then to say it's right, as you said the other night,
it's nonsense. Mm-hmm. You can't have a wrong and a right go together. And if he says it's wrong, then how can it be right?
Okay. Elmer?
Simply, what would be to be sure that that is what St. Paul says? That's the question. That's a serious question. I think you all have been around books enough to say that I can read it at any point, depending on where I start and where I end, and I can make it say anything at all. The section that that deals with, where you really not, it is really unfair, and I don't mean to say anybody maliciously would do this, but it's unfair to take those two verses out of a section that is designed for the 18th chapter of the first chapter, 18th verse of the first chapter of Romans, to the 20th verse of the third chapter of Romans. There's a whole section describing a whole thing. It makes a lot of difference what Paul is doing in that section before you understand what those words mean.
So what do you think he's doing when you take it in its entirety?
He's listing all things that tear away people from God. This is at least the translation that we have in front of us here. It says in 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. There are many things that do that. He lists religion as one of them.
Well, here's...
Just a second. May I finish? So to put it in context, then you may answer it, but I'm glad they have it too. He lists religion as one of them. He also lists some homosexual passages as one of those. Surely, religion can do that or not do it. Surely, homosexual passages can do that or not do it. Because he's listing all the things that tear apart from God, that can be abused to tear apart from God. But I would not want to say this passage proves that religion is wrong because Paul lists it here as something that can do it. Or any more than I would say on this passage, on the basis of this passage, that homosexual is intended by this passage to be proven wrong. What it says is that it can't keep people away from it. It doesn't say
well,
anything
wrong.
It's inherent. It says religion is wrong too.
I don't get the paradox there. No. I mean,
religion is belief in God. Uh-huh. And that's wrong in this passage.
I don't see that.
He says that that's what gets in the way of people. They make religion a battle.
Where does it say that? Where does it say that?
Yeah, but the world is full of religions, and they're not necessarily all followers of Christ. To be a Christian is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's our Christian stand, sure. I'll find it soon.
Well,
I'm going to warn you. I'm going to have a hard time being moderator tonight, but I'm going to try. So continue.
Well, I agree with the lady that over there that when God created man, and then he left him alone for a long time. And he finally says, well, it isn't good for man to be alone, so I'm going to make him a woman to be his helpmate. And he takes a rib from the man and makes the woman. I think that should be enough for all of us to know that that's the way that God wants us to live.
But isn't there now, there are many, in fact, somebody said it here the other night, that there's research been showing that many people, you don't choose. Some say you don't choose whether you're gay or straight. You just are. Therefore, some people say that if you are, that means that God created you that way and you should live it in its fullness.
Darius?
Yes.
May I interject?
Yeah,
well,
this is, okay, yes. you're the one who's poorly quoting.
I'm the one who said the other night that research shows this to be the case, and whoever said that's false is sadly misinformed, because indeed it is true. It is true, but true to the extent where it has been documented. They have used electron microscopes at Stanford University and have specifically isolated mutations on the chromosomes of certain genes which are typical to the homosexual male. They are currently working on research to see if this is also true of the homosexual female, and there is a great deal of evidence to indicate that it may be. Therefore, some homosexuals, at least, have absolutely no control whatsoever over the fact that they are homosexual. They were born that way, they'll live that way, they'll die that way, and there's absolutely nothing they can do about it. Any more than they can do anything about the color of their hair, the baldness of their head, the color of their eyes, or anything else. And for somebody to say that something that God has interjected into his creation is wrong, is wrong.
I don't think God interjected.
Okay, now if ground rules, let's raise our hands. Hey, no, seriously, let's raise our hands, and if it's relating to a question or to another point, we'll try to give priority to that, so we don't jump all over, but we can focus at least for a little bit of time. And you did have your hand up, and then up over here. So you, and then.
I have a question for you again. I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Jacobson, Andy. Andy.
just are you saying that then a person, do you think this research would lead us to say that a person doesn't even have isn't there still a decision to be made? Whether they have that tendency or not, a person would still have a decision as to how they want to act on their tendency, don't you?
I can do all the deciding in the world I want to about the fact that I'm a male, and there's not a blessed thing I can do about it. I can make all kinds of decisions about how I act as a male. Just as a homosexual male can make all kinds of decisions about how he acts, yes. But is that the point? It sounds to me like we're saying homosexual equals sin. How is that possible when he has no control over the fact that he's that way from his very birth?
Okay. Up here, and then up there, and then over here. Okay.
I just wanted to make the point of when we are working on our ethics in terms of Christianity, that the basic criteria is mercy and justice. And I don't think that we're being very merciful or being very just to someone particularly. If there's any chance that they cannot help this, and we make blanket statements that they cannot be right with God, or however we wish to say it, I think that's very dangerous for ourselves personally when things are still black and white. And I think it's very harmful to those that we treat that way.
Okay. Up here and then over here.
The gentleman just spoke about Mr. Jacobson.
Yes.
Andy. I basically agree that his overall approach that people don't oftentimes, maybe not always, people don't have a choice about whether they're homosexual or not. I just have a question about to clear up to him, if he could clarify I'm not aware of the research that it's proven that they're chromosomally, biologically determined to be homosexuals. I'm not aware of that, and I wonder if we could have a little more substantiation rather than just accepting it or rejecting it out of hand. I'm not aware of it. If he could just talk a little bit more about it.
Okay. You and you both have points directed to that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we'll get
this is Mrs. Andy.
Okay. Can I call you Jake?
Gertrude Lundholm and I were talking the other night after the conversation, and she had an article and gave it to someone who was coming through here. And I don't remember where she had it, but she had a written article that
we have it now.
You have it now.
Oh.
There is.
Okay, but now this is a Stanford University study, did you say?
Yeah.
The one I'm specifically referring to came out of Stanford, but there is research going on in several major genetic research projects.
Yeah, okay. And yes?
Lee Griffin also alluded to this research that's being done by a woman from the University of Chicago.
Okay, okay. Over here. Could you?
That's still as much. I'm not against people. I'm not. I can love a homosexual just as I can love a heterosexual or an asexual. I mean, I'm not against people, and I can love the person but hate the sin. And I think that's what I do. I think I'm merciful against. I can love that person and be merciful against him and forgive him just as God would forgive him. But that's not to say that what he's doing is wrong. I don't care if it's what it is. I mean, either, like I said before at the beginning, either we're going to believe and trust what is in our word and what is in our hearts, or we're going to reject what's in our hearts and rationalize our own truth. And it just appears to me that the truth says that this is sin, and either we reject that or we accept that. And again, it has nothing to do with individuals and people, because people need to be loved and people need to be forgiven and people need mercy. And just as I need mercy, and I think I've received mercy from Jesus Christ. But again, it's sin, it's wrong, and whether it's maybe the mutants of the genes and sex and so forth are because of unconfessed sin of their fathers or their mothers, or it's people, you can laugh and you can make remarks about that, but that is also a part of Old Testament history of the sins of your David even himself said.
So
our fathers and mothers will be brought to the fourth and fifth generations.
So what you're saying is that a person who's a homosexual, that in and of itself is not necessarily sin. That person could choose celibacy, for example, and that would be fine. I mean, is that what you're saying, or is homosexuality itself?
If he's having some kind of, we all have to be true to our hearts, and if that's what our heart is saying, then I guess we have to ask God for forgiveness and for healing.
And healing doesn't mean celibate, but means heterosexual.
Heterosexual.
Okay, that's what I wanted. Okay.
And I believe that it can be done.
Yeah. Okay. Comment up here, and then over there, then there, then there. Okay, remember your order, please. Oh, no comma? Okay, then we go to Elmer, I guess.
Right. And then Dan. I'm trying to picture again the rationality that we might, the rationalizing that we may do in reading the scriptures is alongside of the emotionalizing that we may do in reading the scriptures. So, God always calls us, it seems to me, in reading his word with care and with love. Not only for what the word says by itself, but so we don't, because of our upbringing and the sins of our parents on us, in causing us so emotionally to respond to certain issues. And sexuality, in my opinion, is one of those. That doesn't mean anything we say is right or wrong, but a great care has to be examined for that. It seems to me that passage is saying all the things that happen when people are apart from Christ, those are the things that can be identified, because that long section describes what happens in the chaos of the world when people are apart from Christ. Not that anything of those in and of themselves are the cause of it. The cause is being apart from Christ. The remedy is to be in Christ and then to live the life that can be lived. That means that what is done to deny either God's will in life or deny the well-being of another person apart from Christ can be turned around. And any of the things that are listed in there can be made to be wholesome again if you are in Christ. And in other words, it doesn't, to my mind, address the issue of homosexuality of its own sake, but as part of a way it could be abused. And any gift of God, any gift of sexuality or mind or money, all of which are gifts, can be abused. Now, how to be clear that what he meant in the midst of that this one, above all others, was by itself wrong, is putting something into the text that whole text doesn't say, I believe. I'm willing to have other people believe otherwise about that, but that's an understanding of it that not only I, but other people have come to too, from looking at that. The whole of that text in Romans, by the way, echoed by the careful words chosen in the Corinthian passage that I think somebody mentioned, where the words that are loosely translated, perverse or pervert or whatever it is, deal with the keeping of a child as a sex object, one of them, and anal intercourse as another. Now, it makes it a little different when it's identified so clearly as what is being done as abusive. That's quite different from the question that I hear some people being raising today. Is it possible to have a loving relationship in a same-sex relationship?
Dan?
Mine already.
Yeah. He yielded, and who's next? You were three, and then we're up here.
Well, there's a number of thoughts I have. One, we say that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is their authority, and I think it's an important one that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality.
That we know of.
That
we know of.
That we know of. Thank you. it's written in the scripture.
Yeah.
The other thing that's always very interesting to me is that how easy it is to take up these more or less obscure Bible passages as a way of finding out sin. And we love to sit and talk about sins that we aren't involved in. And the Bible has hundreds of passages that are crystal clear about injustice, care of the poor, feeding the hungry, greed, even gossip. You know, I've never been to a forum where they're standing there screaming, pointing the Bible passages about things that are very, very clear, and therefore it seems to me that we're bringing a lot of cultural feelings into the scripture at this point. The other thing that's very similar, if we're all heterosexual here tonight, it's like a group of white people talking about black people without any black people being here. I wish we could talk to gay Christian people. I think the conversation would be very, very different. And one other thing I want to mention, that the one thing that the Apostle Paul condemned, and that was that a Jew or a Gentile would have to become a Jew to become a Christian. And this was a cutting edge of the gospel. And there are some today that say, if what Andy says is true, you know, if a person is born biologically a homosexual, for us to say that that person must change in order to be a Christian, we then are laying on that person the very thing that Paul absolutely condemned. That is to make a person be something else before the gospel can be received. Something to add to the mix.
Okay. Here, 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 then me, then you, then you. I could give you two.
I guess I still don't feel that it's something that can just be ignored and left to go rampant. And, a lot of people don't realize that there are a lot of people that are being led to homosexuality. It's not caused through mutant genes. And I found out this when I was teaching school, that there was a pilot school in Portland, Oregon. And unfortunately, my taxes were going to it. But they were teaching kids, along with reading, writing, and arithmetic, how to be homosexuals. Some parents were gay by choice, some parents were divorced, but it was okay. They pushed on the kids to go after male companionship and female companionship. And you could walk through the school and little boys were holding hands with little boys, and little girls were holding hands with little girls. And they weren't just friends, they were boyfriends and girlfriends. and it was okay with their parents if, even if they had sexual contact. And at that, when the, this is in a grade school, and at that point, when kids are at the age that they can be so influenced, then I don't think it's something that you can just let go. You know?
Do you have a clarification of what kind of sexual contact they're having, holding hands, that what you mean?
No, this was sexual contact outside of the school besides holding hands. It was okay if...
I just meant, you said those things right after another, and I wasn't sure.
No, it was okay if one little boy had another little boy over to sleep in the same bed. Okay, they encourage that type of thing, that type of activity.
I feel like the finger's being pointed at me as a child who's had many a night with a girlfriend.
Okay, I'll get a little more explicit. Okay, they were allowed to fondle with each other's bodies, if that's okay.
How old?
Okay.
So this is a kindergarten through sixth grade.
Could I? You know, it's very easy to point to child molestation or children having sex, whether it be a male and female, female, female. It gets us off too easy of the subject of which I think I would like to push again. Two people who love each other, want to live together and have no extramarital or extra whatever old relationship. Is that wrong for two people? The only difference between Cindy's and my relationship and their relationship is that they happen to be both male or both female. That pushes the point. There's all sorts of perverted sexual things happening all over the place in both gay and straight worlds. And we can point up for every gay one, a straight one, and we'll get, I don't think we'll get anywhere. Is that fair enough to say it that way?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's not that, I can understand, and it's a very emotional issue too, because when you see those things happening, you think the whole world's coming down then. I think that, it was that basically...
Well, I guess I'm not too sure what your definition of a homosexual is. I guess at that point I'm not too positive, you know, where exactly you're coming from as far as the definition. Not that you can put it in two quotation marks, but...
Okay, I would say two people of the same sex who love each other not only in a compassionate, caring, tender, embracing way, but in a very erotic, loving, sensual way as well. I would think there's, you know, it, that's what I would say. Other people may disagree or whatever, but...
So what you're doing is limiting the right kind of homosexual behavior to just that? And
no. No, all I'm saying is let's see if that is acceptable for the church or not, and then we can, I want to work that way backwards, because otherwise we work from that way forwards, or maybe nonsense is sense and whatever, we get into a lot of other things, and I think that helps us focus in the 21 minutes we have left. Okay, so did you have a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to say a little bit about what he said, that because a mutant gene and leads to homosexual, that it's God-given and it's okay. That doesn't make any sense to me. Because there's an illness, it doesn't mean that God wants it. You know, cancer is an illness. That doesn't mean that that's what he wants in the world. And I can't put the two together, that because there's a bunch of ugliness here, you can put it all on God and say, well, we have to accept it because he's allowed it to be here. We have to accept it as good, I guess.
Okay, the question several is cancerous.
An illness is an illness, you know, whether it's in the mind or a physical, your physical state.
Okay, was it you and then you, I think?
I'm not sure if I can put that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you.
I'm not sure that I can call, and I'm shaking. And to something that Dan or Elmer said one time, I would like to have some homosexuals here. And if there are any here, I don't think that they would have the nerve to speak up, because it's not a very accepting community. It's not a very friendly sort of place to be at this moment.
I would almost risk to say there are. I don't know who.
And I guess that's
there. Yeah, statistics say there are.
And I guess that's one of my first reactions to that is, so, what's the difference? My calling, and I can't quote scripture exactly, and I can't tell you where it is, but my calling, what Christ says to me, is that I have to love. That's it. I can't put any ands, ifs, or buts on it. My calling is to love and to accept.
Okay. Here, then me, then I think you up there, and then over here. Okay.
In relation to that, and what, you know, having a homosexual here, I'm not a homosexual, but I had a friend at school who approached me in the last week or so, and we just sat down and had a real good conversation. He and I had a good friendship, and, you know, nothing sexual in it, but he felt comfortable talking to me, so we sat down and talked about it, and how he had been picked up by some other men, and he had been through these acts, and it didn't shock me at first, but as he was talking to me, I didn't feel threatened or hostile to him at all. I just felt, that's the way this man is, and you know, I'm not going to condemn him for that. He felt uncomfortable with it, which to me struck me as very natural, because that's not how God created us. He didn't create us to have those relationships, but they do happen. And I think we have to see the fact that God is very gracious and very forgiving, and he'll forgive that too. But can't, you know, say, well, if he's sinned, then well, he's forgiven like the rest of us.
My turn. I raised my hand about five hands ago. Okay. Some of my own personal feelings on this is that I would like to get away from double standards. The standards we have for heterosexuals, the standards we have for homosexuals. I'm sick and tired of allowing gays a more promiscuous lifestyle than straights, and calling it that acceptable for them and not acceptable for straights. But then comes the question, you know, what do I rank my standards and all that I've been pushed on. But then comes the question, what sin have we done, have I done against the gay in order to have them be in the closet, have their little ghettos, and have this other sort of, all these other sort of things happening, which I think that I am more guilty, or at least as guilty, I would say more guilty than any gay person, because of my heterosexual, WASP, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, hang-ups that I have grown up with, that I've forced a lot of immorality or whatever else to happen. So that's what I wanted to say. And now I think we're over here, and then I think we're there, and then we're up here, and then hopefully I'll remember those other hands.
I just wanted to add to just the various things that I've heard. One is, if a person indeed becomes a Christian and they're listening to the Holy Spirit will correct, and God continues to change people, and he will correct them, and they will no longer be gay, as far as that biological thing goes. Also,
excuse me, so are you're saying by that there is no person who's a Christian who is also gay and Christian, you would say no
to Christ, no, because the Holy Spirit will tell them that is wrong and they repent.
Okay.
Also, it seems like there's some of you that take the Bible as, well, we'll take this scripture and not this scripture, but God gave us his word as guidelines for our life, and he lays it out. Sure, we all have sins, but we're talking about a specific one that he does lay out. And I think too, as our society, where do we draw the line in saying, think about years ago when gay people were hush-hush and they kept it quiet, and now it's just out in the open, and look at the society and the state that it is in. Where do we draw lines as Christians? It says if your brother's sinning that you need to tell him and take it to the elders and pray with that person that it is wrong, but you can still love that person, but say, that it is indeed wrong.
Did you keep your hand up? Well, yeah, I went. Okay.
Well, I'd like to make it clear, too, that I'm not... I know for myself of the sins that I've committed and things, and just the very nature of myself is sinful. For me to say, to look at someone else and say, you've done something worse than I have, or you've done something that I haven't done, and therefore you're worse, that's ridiculous. I mean, I'm just a human being too, who needs Christ, just like everyone else. And I've dealt with homosexuals. I've lived in the same surroundings with them, in the same environments. I've worked with them. They're in law school. They're everywhere. It's not like it's a big deal. I don't condemn them. I don't. I work with them. I live with them, and I have good, relationships with them, friendly. I have nothing against them. It's just, again, I have something against the lifestyle, and I need mercy. Well, so do they, and I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying that it's just, again, it's according to the Holy Spirit, and that's a problem in their life that needs to be resolved. It needs to be taken care of. And for us to say that it's not wrong, I think is almost a greater sin than for them to be doing what they're doing, because that's saying that we're supposed to let them go on in their sin, and I think God will be harsher on us for that than he is on them.
Okay. Up here, then there, then there, then there, and then there. Remember your order. Okay.
I'm getting the feeling that people think that it's declared as a sin to be homosexual. Sam said that Jesus never condemned it. He never said, I'm not familiar with the Bible enough to say that God has not, has said this, I don't want you to do it. But does it mean that people love God any less or believe in him any less that they're homosexual?
That's a question. I would answer it. Some do and some don't, but others would say that they love them less. I'm hearing some people would say that.
I don't love them less.
No, would God love, would no, would they love God more or less because they're gay? Is that what your question is?
Yeah.
Do you think God would love, or they would love God less because they're gay? That's the question. Anybody want to answer that? Yeah.
I think that to be a Christian includes people who, whether we're defining homosexuality as sin or any other sin, Christians are made up of people who continue to sin, and they're all working towards allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their life in such a way that they can become more Christ-like. But a Christian can be homosexual, he can be an adulterer, he can be involved in many types of sin, because he's still, the Holy Spirit is growing in him and trying to cleanse him towards, to be more Christ-like. But to say that a homosexual can't be as good a Christian as anyone else would be ridiculous.
Okay. Did you have more to say? Yeah.
You're saying that it is a sin, that it is most definitely a sin to be homosexual.
No, I'm answering the question you posed.
Okay.
Okay, I'm making my statement on something else. I'm saying that homosexuality is no worse a sin than a Christian who goes out and commits adultery, a Christian who goes and gossips.
But is it a sin? My previous example, is it a sin that two people who love each other, who are faithful to each other, and have established a long commitment to each other, and their only difference is that they happen to be of the same sex, is that sin? That they are living together as my wife and I live together? Is that?
Yeah, and then because of that fact, do they love God anymore?
I'm sure we have. I'm sure.
One question is it a sin, and the other is does the person who sins, do they love God less?
It is two different, yeah. Yeah. And I would think to answer it that there's a whole gamut of opinion. You know,
well,
okay.
I don't hear a lot of people saying, no, it's not.
I would.
Remember your orders, because we're on this question, then we'll go to the orders, but we're dealing with this question, we'll still raise our hands. Okay. Okay, Dad.
Is there a difference between homosexuality as a state of being and homosexual acts that may be perverted or may be exploited?
A person comes into my office and says to me, I have a problem, I'm a homosexual. I ask them, what's your problem? I don't believe, this is where I am, that their problem is their gayness. Their problem is how they relate and deal and struggle with that gayness is the problem, which could be a real big one. And it could be sin. It may not be. And I'm not one to get into, you know, if they feel it's a sin, they want to work on it, great. But that's, if that helps where I'm coming from. Anybody else who wants to speak to her thing, her question?
I'm hung up on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Uh-huh.
I keep going, no matter what you say, God is the ultimate judge, and we're not the judge, I mean.
Okay.
Sure, we have to make up our mind, but if this was so distasteful to God that he could destroy a whole city, then that's what I keep going back to.
Okay. I would think, I don't know, Charlie, if we can do this or not, but I would be willing to walk people through in a mini form or something somewhere on the schedule, just on the different scripture references and how do we deal with them and what they are in relationship to homosexuality, if that is a concern. With 6 minutes left, I don't know if we want to spend the last 6 minutes on Sodom and Gomorrah or if we want to go elsewhere. But I would be more than willing, because I think that's a crucial, crucial question. And not only that one, but there are many other passages, including back to the Romans verse. So I don't want to lose it. And you ask me when are we going to have it done, and we'll get it in tomorrow or the next day, I would think, or after tonight if you're leaving tomorrow, corner me. What was the order I asked long time ago? Pardon? Who's next? Yeah, I think you had your hand up. I remember your hand and your hand. Okay, those were the four. So, whatever order, I'll just say you, and you, and that will probably be it.
It was an eye opener for me a few years ago when my husband and I attended a human sexuality conference in Minneapolis, sponsored by the church, and we spent one day with homosexuals, Christian homosexuals, and to see the anguish of one very handsome young athlete telling the story of his having to go home and tell his parents that what he had known when the first awareness came, that he was a homosexual. Now here's a kid who has been in Sunday school all his life. He knew that it was wrong, or that the church had taught him that it was wrong, and the anguish that he went through. And fortunately, his parents accepted him and did not turn him out. There was also an Episcopalian priest who was a Christian for years. We went into the home of two women who had lived together for years. And in that context, you know, I could find they were just like other people, and they had lasting relationships. I would agree with you that I have the problem with exploitation of another person and one-night stands, just to use it for one's own pleasure, rather than having a loving commitment. And, you know, I totally agree. I'm so glad that I don't have to be a judge. You know, I think we are called to love and accept.
Thank God we're not God, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Over here, then here, then here. Excuse me, behind you. Sorry. I wish I knew everybody's name.
It seems to me, as I'm sitting here listening, I think that Jesus himself went out of his way not to condemn people and to embrace them and accept them. I'm thinking that in addition to this research that Andy Jacobson mentioned is new to me. I'm not aware of that, and I take it at face value that there are some people whose genes, chromosomes, whatever, predispose them to homosexuality. And I find it hard to condemn people who are in that situation physically. I also find it hard to condemn people who have opted for homosexuality because of their experience with sexuality in their home or elsewhere, where it's an exploitive thing, it's a violent thing, it's a lot of things that it shouldn't be. And for them, they've made that choice. I find it hard to condemn them. And I think I would go along with you that in this particular situation, I would certainly think that it would be possible for the loving couple, homosexual couple, to be Christian. But I think there's a difference between saying that, a vast difference, I guess, between saying that and doing what society, or what many in society seem to be saying today, that homosexuality is every bit as acceptable and normal as heterosexuality. And I'm hearing a lot of that. That's why I'm struggling with this whole thing, because I think that is a perversion every bit as much as the exploitive kinds of heterosexual behavior and so on. And I hear it being said all around me, not here tonight, but all around me in society, that almost anything goes. And that homosexuality is okay if you want to choose that. Not the people who are predisposed by their genes, but just for whatever reason.
That's what makes those horror stories so horrible, you know, because it's going to happen all around us, yeah. There and then here, yeah.
I guess this comment doesn't have as much when I wanted when I was raising my hand. It's really important.
Yeah.
It just seems that I've been hearing a lot of, well, first when Dave was talking about, I felt so uncomfortable. Well, I don't think that can be, say that he can use his conscience of why he would feel uncomfortable with that, because, you know, what kind of society are we growing, has he grown up in, you know, having been condemned for so long against homosexuality? I think, I'm sure for any young Christian person it'd be a real struggle to have these feelings inside. And I guess another thing is that so many people were expressing that they thought it was a sin. I just wanted to say that there's a, you know, the other viewpoint that if that's just the way you are and that's your orientation, then I don't think you can talk about whether that person should try to change or something if that's the way they are.
Finally. You were on the... No, right there.
Yeah.
Yours was set, okay. There, and then here, and then that will be it, if they're brief.
I just had a couple of thoughts. First of all, when people were saying whether they thought it was a sin or not, I kind of felt that was a little bit misdirected, because it's not really up to us to decide, because we're not the judge of that person. God is going to be the final judge of that anyway. I don't think it's fair for us to sit here and try and decide. The other thought was, you know, people that are gay and Christian who, you know, have the, you know, coherency, I don't think those are the people we have to worry so much about as the people who are struggling with their gayness and whether they are Christian or not. Our society has kind of shelled them so much. My concern is with gay people struggling with God, fighting with Him, trying to find a happy medium. You know, they're saying, well, is there something wrong with me? You know, since I am gay, and they have all these different passages and so forth, well, then I can't be a Christian. You know, and I think that's just something we should focus on where they're at, and rather helping them to find that, deal with that.
Okay, somebody up here and then over here. Is there...
I'll just say briefly that I think in the Old Testament there's many passages about laws that are being broken, people being punished and stoned, and there's a lot of rule orientation there, and I think maybe Paul fell into that trap a little bit too. I think that the Pharisees that we always hear about talking about, discussing laws back and forth and trying to take and decide about those sorts of things, I just think we have to be real careful about finding the truth about little rules and 10 big rules. And when they asked Jesus about what's the most important commandment, it was the same sort of thing. They're trying to find out the truth, and basically said the most important thing is to love God and love others. And I think you have to go with those kind of generalities rather than trying to be rule oriented.
Two more minutes, and those here coming for Complan, we will be through in 2 minutes. Here. Yes.
I go along a lot with what Sandy just said. I think that two people can love each other and still be Christians. And those that are probably struggling, the homosexuals that are wondering whether it's right or wrong. And as far as acceptance of the church, I think if the church rejects homosexuality, then the people that, like Sandy said, that are struggling are going to lose hope. And I don't think it's up to the church to judge or condemn people and take away the hope that we preach so much that everybody has to have.
I agree.
The mark of a good form is if you leave continuing to talk. And I got a feeling this is a good form. You will go away continuing to talk. We will try to get something in, hopefully tomorrow or the next day, on a mini form in the afternoon or something, because I think we need more talking. Yes, it will be announced in the meal. So go in peace, serve the Lord, stay here and worship.